This is the Reds Hot Stove Room.
The Reds are on the radio.
The Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by the Holy Grail Banks Tavern and Grill, Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, JTM Food Group, MSA Architects, Thompson McConnell Cadillac, and by Document Destruction. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by...
And this one belongs to the Reds!
CBTS, a Cincinnati Bell Company, technology solutions for business. Your tri-state Chevy dealers. Check out Chevy's award-winning lineup only at your tri-state Chevy dealers. The Healthcare Management Group, greater care for greater Cincinnati. And by Woody Sander Ford, I-75 at Mitchell Avenue, right in the middle of everywhere. Now, the Reds Hot Stove League on News Radio 700 WLW, the home of the Reds.
Hey, pleasant good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed, we're at the Holy Grail Banks, and we've got a nice crowd here. Thank you very much. Another edition of the award-winning Reds Hot Stove League, even bigger tonight because our mentor, our number one advisor, our inspiration throughout the course of every baseball season has decided to come down from the tower palace that he lives in and rub elbows with the common man. That would be Dave Yiddy Armbruster over here to the right, our producer. He's a guy I've been trying to for the last 10 years to talk about encouraging him to write a book about the things that go on and the things that are said during commercial breaks in the Reds radio booth over the course of any baseball season. And I promise you it would be very entertaining. Might be a little bit rough, but it would be very entertaining, would it not, Yid?
Do you have cable TV is what we're trying to say, or cable radio?
It would be our last day on the air.
Yes, it would. That voice you also heard besides Yid's is Olga Flynn's husband. That's his claim to fame down in Lexington, Kentucky. When he crosses a river into Cincinnati, Doug Flynn is known as the glue as far as the Big Red Machine is concerned.
Thank you, Marty. Great to be here. And I will tell you, it hadn't got any easier when you cross that river trying to find a place to park my tractor. I know that.
Well, nobody would know it better than you, pal. How are things down in the Bluegrass? Pretty good?
Bluegrass, all right. Big Blue Nation's a little iffy. You know, lost a tough football game.
Yes, they did.
Basketball, they're on tonight. I think play LSU later on. They're just they're not in the best of moods right now because we don't know what kind of team we got.
Yeah, well, when you have a complete new team that comes in every recruiting season, it's hard to decide what kind of team you're going to have. But that is another story for another day. On the upside, we've got 51 days before we're back on the air again with the first spring training game of 2018. Spring training will begin, as far as the broadcast is concerned, on February the 23rd. And then we're off and running. I think the first full squad workout sometime around the 13th of February after the pitchers and catchers come in. And it's amazing how quickly the off season goes, especially when you get through the holiday season. And now the NFL season, except for the postseason, is all but over with. And now you're looking toward the caravan in late January and then the beginning of another spring training.
You know, Marty, I think since I first got into baseball in the early 70s, guys were talking about spring training being too long anyway. This year it seems like they've kind of shortened it because you get there and after about 5 weeks or so, guys are ready to start the season. Then you got that extra week where you're trying to figure out how you're going to fill your roster. So moving it up, I don't know. I kind of like April starts. March, I'm going to have to get used to that, I guess.
749-7000, those of you who may be listening somewhere other than the Holy Grail tonight, and 1-800-THE-BIG-ONE, that's 1-800-843-2441. If you want to dial us up and talk Reds baseball or talk Major League Baseball in general or whatever might be on your mind, do you propose, do you support the feeling that both of us have heard for millions and millions of years? And that is the spring training is all about the pitching. Regular players, position players don't need nearly that long.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And it was amazing the way to watch, and I can only relate to the guys that I played with.
Right.
When you saw the Big Red Machine come in, none of them were in great shape, but they used spring training as a springboard to get themselves in shape leading up. Now, when you're a player that's trying to make a roster, you better go down in the very best shape you can be in. I think for veteran players it was a little long, but for pitchers especially, because with all the training that's going on now, Marty, I would like to see them throwing more. Get off the weights a little bit and just throw some more. Because to me, That would eliminate some injuries and get some of these kids a lot more ready to play.
You think we'll ever be, we'll live long enough to see where they'll go back to promoting more throwing and less weight room activity?
No, I don't.
I don't either. No. And I agree with you. I think it's part and parcel to, in many cases, the increased number of injuries that seemingly occur in the game, not only at the major league level, less so in the minor league level, but certainly at the big league level. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with the increased emphasis placed on being in the workroom.
Well, it's not just the guys that are on the hill. I think everyday players, outfielders need to throw. You'll remember this guy, Craig Swan, pitched with the Mets.
Good pitcher.
Led the league.
He and
in
I
ERA.
Were in the minor leagues together.
Were you really?
Yeah, in Tidewater back in the early 70s.
Led the league in ERA with basically one pitch. And I remember when I was bouncing back from short and second, he came to me one day and he says, Doug, I'm gonna tell you something, and you take it for what you want. Every day, go out in the outfield and play long toss. He said, I'll do it with you. He says, because you'll get in the habit if you're not throwing and you're just short-arming it from second. Time you move to short, it's going to hurt you. I think that's a good lesson not only for me but pitchers too. Play a little long toss, and, we got some good arms on this team. Now, whether they can all pitch or not, that's another question.
Well, I mean, that's a topic of conversation that I think those of us who are close to this situation have talked about on the air and off the air, and that is that for a number of those guys, this spring training coming up is going to be very, very important because I think at some point some of these guys have to stand up and be counted. They have to either, one, show that they are better than what they've shown in the past, or two, maybe they're not as good as everybody thought they were.
Well, I'm on the same page as you are. There's been some injuries. We can all relate to that. Every team's going to have them. But there's been some kids that have been given the opportunity, more so than a lot of pitchers that I've seen in the past. Sal Romano may be one who has kind of stepped out above all the rest of them. I don't know if he's just a little more mature, but I think he's realizing, as a thrower, I'm not going to make it up here. I better be a pitcher. Hopefully that's a lesson that a lot of these other young kids will learn.
Well, the interesting thing, and when we were on the air last week, we talked about the five pitchers that Brian Price talked about as possibly being rotation pitchers, and I'll be dead honest with you. One of the ones that I was most surprised about was him saying Brandon Finnegan. One, he's not been able to stay healthy. Two, for me and where I sit, I don't think he is consistently a strike thrower where he can cut down on the number of pitches that he throws early in the game. In his case, when he had the great start early in the year last year against the Dodgers in L.A. when he matched up with Clayton Kershaw, and Kershaw beat him 1-0. And that was, I think he went 8 innings in that game and gave up 1 run, and that's Kershaw gave the Reds nothing. But that was an indication of how good this kid can be when he's throwing strikes. I'm sure that's going to be something that they're going to be looking at. And the one advantage that he has is that he is left-handed, and I think you need to have at least one when you go into a season, whether you're in the American League or the National League. I don't think it works well to have 5 right-handers in your rotation.
No, I agree with that, too. You got to have one in there someplace, as well as your bullpen. You better have somebody to come in to pitch to a tough lefty late in the game. But when you saw him last year, there were signs of brilliance. But the consistency, as you were talking about, just wasn't there. And when you saw pitchers getting to the fifth inning or the sixth
Correct.
Inning, and you look up on the board, there's 112 or 120 pitches
Yep.
or getting close to that many being thrown. I'm not a guy that's a big fan of the pitch count, but you don't need to throw that many pitches in 5 innings.
I agree. Probably the highlight of our program tonight, and this shows you how we're scrambling, is that when we come back from the commercial break, a guy who's going to spend a lot of time in the Reds radio booth in 2018, our good friend Jim Day, will be with us by telephone. Jim has gone to Tampa, Florida, to spend a couple of days with Lou Piniella to do an in-depth interview like they did with Pete Rose a couple of years ago that they'll show ad nauseum on the Reds television network in 2018. By the time the year is over, you'll be able to recite every comment that Lou makes by because you'll see it so much. This is going to be an interesting interview to find out where they were going to be today, because it is anything but warm right now in the Tampa Bay area. We'll be talking to Jim Day, and we'll have him on, and we'll get some insight from him. That's coming up. You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League live from the Holy Grail Banks, presented by Budweiser. With a Reds Pick 6 plan, you choose any six Reds games and save up to 25%. Whether you want Fireworks Fridays, collect this season's bobbleheads, or catch a Reds and the Cardinals or the Cubs, the choice is all yours. Plus, you get six McDonald's Extra Value meal vouchers. Purchase your Pick 6 plan now at reds.com/pick6. Some restrictions apply. We are back at the Holy Grail Banks across from Great American Ballpark. We're on the 29th of March. A new baseball season will get underway. It's a Reds take on the Washington Nationals. But as far as the present is concerned, we mentioned about Jim Day being down in the Tampa Bay area with one of the great interviews of all time, and that would be Lou Piniella. And I don't say that to kiss his butt, if you'll allow me to be rather blunt about it. But he was a great interviewer. He was a great manager. He will always be a very popular figure in this town as long as they play the game of Major League Baseball. And so people are interested in hearing what Lou has to say, no less than the two guys doing this show tonight, myself and Doug Flynn. And we go down by phone to the Tampa Bay area. Jim Day, are you there?
I am here, Marty, and playing the role of a little kid sitting back and listening to one of the great storytellers of all time, legend in Reds country, manager of the 1990 World Series champions, Lou Piniella, in his house, and just looking at the memorabilia in this house and the stories behind them. It has just been a glorious day. I'm pinching myself.
Lou, was it a glorious day out on the water today in the Tampa Bay?
Marty, we couldn't go out. We had about 20 mile-an-hour winds, and it was really choppy out there. So we haven't been out there on the water at all. We actually did the interview in the den of my house.
Well, why don't you take him to play golf today?
More comfortable.
Why don't you take him to play golf today?
Well, I played golf yesterday over at Old Memorial, and we won a little member guest golf tournament. You know, actually, we were even par for 18 holes with handicaps, and we didn't think we had a chance, and we ended up winning not winning the tournament, but we tied for winning the tournament.
Were you a major contributor to that event?
Yeah, I was a major contributor on the bat side.
I hear you. How's Anita doing,
yeah,
Lou?
She's doing good, Marty. Thanks. She really is doing good. And, you know, I had a really nice time talking to Jim about the good times in Cincinnati and my career. And we had a lot of fun doing it. And I want to wish you and Doug a very happy new year, as I do all the fans there in Cincinnati. Wonderful, wonderful people and a wonderful town. And they brought that cold weather down here front with them.
I know they did. I'm well aware of that. Hey, Jimmy, and I made mention, you might have heard it if you were hanging on the telephone before we got back out of the break, the fact that what you're doing with Lou is similar to what you did with Pete a couple of years ago. And fans,
it'll only run once.
Huh?
It'll only run once.
Well, then that's a departure from what you did with Rosie.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It will,
I mean, because like I said, the fans are going to be able to quote from memory everything that Lou says,
yeah,
because they'll see Lou Piniella all year, all the time.
Yeah. Well, one thing, Pete Rose is a lot more interesting than me. So
I got news for you. The four guys that are involved in this interview right now, the one closest to making a comment about that statement is the guy talking to right now. And I disagree with that statement. You were as entertaining as Pete was. I've told people, and I'll say it again, my favorite manager of all time since I've been here has been Lou Piniella, and I don't think that'll ever change.
Marty, I'm flattered. I really am. I'm flattered, and we had a really good relationship. We've had a lot of fun, and we've had a lot of laughs, that's for sure. And
yeah,
the days that I spent with you and Joe Nuxhall talking baseball and chewing the fat, those are ingrained in my mind forever.
A lot of fun, Lou.
You know, Marty,
yes, sir.
When I think of Lou, remember when they used to do those super teams where they take the two World Series teams and the two Super,
yes,
Bowl teams? The first time I somehow got to go down with the Reds, and that's the first time I met Lou Piniella. And I think it was 76, maybe? 70, right in there, in that area. And
you remember that, Lou?
I remember that, yes.
And the thing about you, Lou, that I've always been impressed as a player, a manager, a person working with the organization, whatever, you never change. You've always just had fun, but you've always been a guy that if you wanted an opinion, you could go to you and you'd shoot straight with everybody. very much appreciated by other former players, I'll tell you that.
Well, I appreciate that, Doug. You know, when you don't lie, you don't have to duck issues. So
that's right.
That's the way I've always approached it. I've always been very straightforward. And listen, it was an honor and a pleasure wearing a Major League uniform all those years. And, you know, had a lot of fun. Played with many great players, managed many great players. And I was fortunate that I was at Cincinnati at the right time with all that young talent that we had, and we won a world championship there. And listen, I did it for 23 years, and that's the only world championship I've won, so it's special to me, believe me.
Jim, I guess is this interview with Lou carrying over into tomorrow? You guys are get together for 2 days, is that right?
Well, we were going to try to go on the boat tomorrow, but I think the weather's going to preclude us from doing that as well. And obviously my master didn't teach me well enough because I'm not getting free golf on this trip. Marty would have made sure that happened had he been on this trip.
You can book that.
Well, you can get some golf tomorrow if you want here in Alvalade. There's no problem. Believe
well, Lou, I can tell you quite honestly without fear of argument, I don't care what he said about what kind of display of disappointment he showed about not getting on that boat today, because he just spent half the day throwing his guts up over the side of that boat. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about.
I tell you what, I would have chosen this, though, over going out on a boat just because of the pictures that are on the wall of Lou, Thurman Munson, and Lou, and Billy Martin, and George Steinbrenner. My favorite piece of memorabilia is a base that is signed, but they strategically placed this so high on the wall that Lou can't get to the base and throw it. It's probably my favorite thing on the wall, but just his World Series jersey on the wall from Cincinnati in 1990, and just the stories behind it. Really looking forward to when this interview airs.
So when can fans expect to see the first exposure of Lou Piniella on the Reds television network?
Don't have an exact date. I imagine it will be right around the beginning of spring training. Do not have an exact date of when that's going to happen.
Well, our time is gone. I wish we had more time, but we've given you some ink verbally as far as what fans can look forward to coming up in 2018. Lou, we can't wait to see you in spring training at some point. And Jimmy, you and I will gather. You and I will gather in St. Thomas on Sunday.
Looking forward to that, and that's when I would.
Thomas,
yeah,
I should be part of that gathering.
Boy, would that be memorable? That would be memorable.
It really would be. I tell you what, you all have a great time. Let me tell you what, Marty, it snowed in Tallahassee last night here in Florida.
Oh, I know it did. I heard that on a weather forecast today, that snow fell on the campus at Florida State.
No question.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
I'll see you on Sunday, and continued success, Lou, and we'll see you in spring training.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it.
All right, pal. Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.
The Holy Grail Banks and Budweiser, proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League. Grab your Buds for our next show. It'll be Wednesday, January the 10th, with specials on Bud and Bud Light Buckets at the Holy Grail Banks, Cincinnati's home for sports. Dial us up. We'll chat Reds baseball with you when we return in just a moment. Enter Scooter Sweepstakes for your chance to win Scooter Jeanette's Yamaha Zuma 125 scooter. The one-of-a-kind scooter was presented to Scooter Jeanette in recognition of his 5-hit, 4-home-run, 10-RBI game on June 6th. Only $10 per entry. See official rules at Reds.com/scooter. All proceeds benefit the Reds Community Fund. I'm Marty Brenneman. He's Doug Flynn, and we want to thank Jim Day and Lou Piniella for spending a bit of time with us, and thanks to the voice of the Reds, Joe Zerhuizen, for being responsible for getting all of that set up in the manner in which he flawlessly did. 749-7000, 1-800-843-2441. Give us a call, and we'll chat baseball with you.
Wow. I saw him in the back. That was high praise for.
He's the voice of the Reds.
He really.
Are you kidding?
Can I throw a little plug in here? We're getting ready to go to fantasy camp. Do you know that? And I see a lot of my friends here from the Reds Hall of Fame, so we're headed out to fantasy camp. And we sold out again because of all the hard work that they put into it. And if you want to go to some place and learn all about Reds history, get over to the Hall of Fame.
When does the fantasy camp begin?
Leaving a week from Friday. And so it'll start on the 13th and go through the 20th. And It's just as much fun. I have, Marty, I got out of baseball in 86. I've been doing camp since 87, and it's one of the most fun weeks of the year for me and my family.
Now, you know, this is not the only fantasy camp you work, though.
No, I do another one.
Let's bring that up. And by the way, I know what you're going to say, because you're going to be politically correct, but you rave about how good this camp is. It is as good as that other one that you go to?
No, I can't touch it.
I knew that.
Well, I really, you know, a few of us actually were a part of putting both of them into play.
That's true.
They're similar to each other. But, you know, I love putting on that red uniform. It's something special. It's a little bigger than the one I used to wear, but it's still a little special.
And our good friend Bobby Wine is still going strong?
Actually, we lost Bobby. Bobby has gone down to the Mets camp for 2 weeks. I'll see him for 1 week. We have a new judge. The new judge is the very honorable Corky Miller.
Yes, that's big now.
And Corky has done a wonderful job in court. He is not afraid to ask for money.
Well, I've always pushed him because of his judicial experience.
Well, that certainly had an impact on with your input, getting him there.
I'm sure it did. Let's go to Indianapolis. And, Brandon, you have the distinct honor of being our very first caller.
Hi, Marty. How are you guys doing tonight, Doug?
We're doing good, Brandon. I think you can tell that from the fun we're having here.
Yeah, I hope you guys had a good new year. Is Jim Kelch still with the team, or did he leave?
No, he's not.
What happened?
Well, they elected to part ways, and Jim Day is going to pretty much fill the same role that Jim Kelch did when Jim was working here.
Okay, well, he'll be sorely missed. But
he certainly will be. I could not agree with you more.
Do you think the Reds will trade Billy Hamilton? I know, Marty, you said that no pieces on this team are really untouchable. I know they really haven't done much in the offseason, but the thing I'd hate to get rid of Billy Hamilton for is when he gets on base, he's a threat, you know, but it's him getting on base, I think, is the problem.
Well, that's you just hit the nail on the head, Brandon. I think the body of work now, as I said last week, for Billy Hamilton is such that you can't keep saying, well, he's going to get better, he's going to get better. It doesn't happen. Is he going to be traded? I don't think there's any certainty at all about that happening. But I don't think you can discount the fact that with all the rumors circulating over apparent never-ending conversations between the Reds and the San Francisco Giants about Billy Hamilton going to the West Coast, if they can come up with a package that the Reds would be satisfied with, you have to believe there's something to it. And now the Reds are doing what they should do, and that's not talk about it. And we don't know whether there would be that sometime, at some point there was talk about the Orioles having interest in Billy. Why would you not, with his ability to play the game, for my money, as good as anybody defensively in our league and maybe in all of baseball, but we simply don't see any consistent improvement in him offensively. And if he doesn't get traded, we can only hope that we will see something by way of an improvement. But I'm not surprised that there's talk about trading Billy Hamilton.
Right. Well, and I was just going to say, I hate that we didn't get anything for Zach Cozart. You know, when he just lost that, I know he was hurt at the trade deadline last year, but I wish nothing but the best for him. And, you know, I know this team is in rebuild mode. Hopefully we'll get better sooner than later, and I'm still a Reds fan, and we'll just have to see what happens, you know, with the young, short kids we have.
God bless you, Brandon. We appreciate your support of the club, and thanks so much for giving us a call tonight.
Happy New Year.
Same to you, pal. 749-7000, 1-800-843-2441. Doug Flynn is with us tonight. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Write it down. New for 2018, the Reds Hall of Fame is offering an exclusive members-only bobblehead with all levels of membership. Beginning in April, all members are eligible for a Chuck Harmon bobblehead with prices starting at just $60. There's a membership package for everyone. Visit RedsMuseum.org for more details. Doug Flynn and I back here at the Reds Hot Stove League as we head toward the final 15 or so minutes. Let's go to Hebron, Kentucky. Sterling, you are on the air.
Hey, Marty and Doug, just want to tell you all Happy New Year, and I'm glad we're back for another year, and I think we're going to be just fine.
Well, I sure hope you're right.
And thanks for everything you do for this area in northern Kentucky.
Oh, you're a Kentucky boy, huh?
Yeah, Sterling out there
near, like that.
traditional golf course.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sterling. Happy New Year. You know, a lot of my friends, they can tell you about a place that's near a restaurant. You kind of identify everything with a golf course.
Well, that puts things in perspective. That's a great golf course out there. Right, Sterling? Nice chatting with you. That was short and sweet. Thank you for the nice words. And is this Dallas, Texas? Yeah? Rick, calling from the Lone Star State. What is happening?
Not much. I'm just trying to stay warm. You know, it's like about 5 degrees out here, believe it or not. I was just up there a couple weeks ago. Well, I can't believe I'm talking to Marty Brenner, but I grew up there in Cincinnati, and I remember Al Michaels and Wade Hoyt.
You're dating yourself now, Rick. You're dating yourself.
Okay, I can remember. I can remember when you first came online there in 1973. Am I right?
No, four.
1974.
Yes.
Yeah, with good old Marty. I mean, not Marty, good old Sparky Anderson. Yeah, I was eating lunch down there on Walnut Street, and during that year they were in the playoffs, and he was so nice, he just waved at me through the window while I was eating my lunch, you know, Sparky.
He was a nice man, Rick, to everybody but his starting pitchers. They didn't care for him a whole lot.
What do you call him? What y'all call him? Everybody call him Captain Hook.
Captain Hook. He had one rule. When I go to the mound, do not open your mouth. When I stick my hand out, you put the ball in it, wait till a relief pitcher gets there, and then go to the dugout. Do not talk.
Well, I just have one quick question for you, Marty.
Yes, sir.
Why do you think, is it that daggone difficult? I mean, they had four or five gold-plated pitchers, you know, back 7 or 8 years ago. Why in the world couldn't they have capitalized with those guys in trades or something? Is it that doggone difficult, you know?
What do you think, Doug?
That's a tough question right there, because they have tried everything in the world to make this team competitive on the field. And they thought it was with the young arms, and they tried to make a trade when they got rid of Cueto. They thought they were doing the right thing. And he turns out to be the great pitcher that he is. I don't know. If you can figure that out, you might have a job here.
One more question. What is Lou Piniella's duties? What's his duties going to be next year? Or this year, I mean.
Well, the Reds added him a number of years ago, and Lou is, quote-unquote, a baseball man. With all due respect to those folks that are eat up with analytics, Lou is a throwback. And thank God they added another one to the organization a number of weeks ago, and Buddy Bell. These are guys that were born into the game, and they are throwbacks to the old days. They make recommendations based on what they see, and if they're going to be of any benefit at all, and that's both Lou and Buddy Bell, their recommendations have to be listened to. And maybe not acted on every one, but these guys are guys that know talent when they see it. To have Rick, have Lou here, and now Buddy Bell also is just making this a better organization.
So they'll be like a consultant.
That is correct.
Advisors.
Okay. Absolutely correct.
That's great. Well, and good luck to 2018.
Well, thank you for calling, Rick, and keep the faith, pal.
Okay.
Did I hear, Marty, maybe you're not a Sabre guy?
No, I think there's a place for it, but I'm a baseball guy as far as a broadcaster can be. I mean, I came along essentially the same time you did, before anybody knew anything about analytics, and I still maintain there's a place for it. There's no question about that. But to those guys there are a lot of guys that are in analytics that look down their nose at people like me because they think they know everything about baseball. What analytics cannot tell you is what's inside a guy's chest and what's between his ears.
I hear an amen?
Amen to that. And I'll stand by that until the day I die. And a lot of those guys are pompous, and they think they have all the answers. And the fact of the matter is, no, they don't. We've got Mike from Union standing by, and we will take your call, Mike, when we continue from the Holy Grail Banks in just a moment. All right, we're back at the Holy Grail Banks. We appreciate all these folks that have shown up here with tonight, none more so than our good friend Rob Butcher, who is a mainstay sitting over there drinking that beer and having a big time of it. It wouldn't be the same unless he showed up. Let's go to Union, Kentucky. And, Mike, you're on the Red Hot Stove League.
Marty and Doug, Happy New Year to you.
You too, Mike. Thank you.
A couple quick things. Michael Lorenzen, it's one of the things that we haven't talked about, heard anybody talk about this winter, is what do you think his role is going to be? I just can't see that he's going to get enough of an opportunity as a starter in spring training. I believe he'll probably end up back in the bullpen with a similar position where he was last year. What do you think?
No, I think they're going to start out the spring giving him every opportunity in the world to make the rotation. He's been a good soldier to this organization. He's pitched out of the bullpen, and he's all the while he did that, he never made any bones about the fact that he wanted to be given the opportunity to start. And I think they'll do that in spring training. I think they'll give him every opportunity with obviously the fallback plan, and that would be to have him back in the bullpen.
Okay, okay. Well, I hope they do give him a fair shot. I think he's got plenty of talent. He's only going to be 26. He turns 26 tomorrow. The other thing I wanted to ask is your opinion. I know we're still a little bit away from the spring training, and I know the roster's probably going to change a little bit between now and then, but I think with the talent that this team has, they quite possibly could win 80 to 85 or even more if they're with the talent they have, if they can stay healthy. What do you think?
If they won between 80 and 85, there would be a parade in downtown Cincinnati, because I think this organization would be absolutely thrilled to do it. Do I think it's possible? Yes, I think it's possible, but once again, it is all predicated on their starting pitching and their bullpen. If one, if only one of those shows up, it's not going to work. I think this club will again have the kind of personnel that will score runs to win, but it's all going to be about pitching. It's all going to be about some of these young guys finally coming of age to prove that they can pitch in the big leagues and they can pitch productively. If they do that, then I don't think that there's any question that those numbers you just mentioned are very, very realistic.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, and you both have a great Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Coleraine. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Marty, Doug. Great talk to you.
Thank you.
I was going 80, 85 with this pitching staff. That's a dream right there. My thoughts on Finnegan and Brian Price and what he thinks of this pitching staff, the guy's never been able to pitch more than five innings, so what, once or twice last year?
Yeah, pretty much. You're right.
And with Homer Bailey and DeSclafani, they haven't stayed healthy the last 3-4 years. When are they going to go out and find a couple veterans that can, you can actually say, are going to make these young guys be able to develop where, you know, it's not just all young guys?
Well, their concentration is on the bullpen, obviously, with the addition of Jared Hughes, who I think was a great pickup for this club. He's pitched well in Pittsburgh. He's pitched well in Milwaukee. But I felt since the last out of 2017 that this team needed to go out and get one bona fide veteran pitcher who's had a great track record health-wise, who's had a great track record in taking the ball every 5 days, giving you a chance to win, and also giving the young pitchers on this pitching staff the benefit of his wisdom as a veteran pitcher. They obviously don't feel that way. They're going to go with what they got.
I don't understand that. I wish you were a GM at times. But
not me, pal.
I know. I would miss listening to you on the radio, though. I love your comment, amen, about Buddy Bell and Luke Pinella, guys that see with their gut and know what a guy can do and know when to bring guys in, take guys out. And, you know, listening to you, I can't listen to, like, Brian Kenny on MLB Network, all that analytics.
Now, Brian Kenny's way over my head. I don't understand anything he says.
I hear you. I can't.
His middle name is Analytics.
I can't stand listening to him on when he's on for Premier Boxing League.
With all due respect, I give him a lot of credit. He had to be a Phi Beta Kappa in college to talk the junk he talks, and that is way over my head, man. I can't handle it. Hey, I appreciate your call, Chris. Thanks very much.
All right. You have a good one.
All right, pal, we're just about out of time here. Doug, we want to thank you for being with us tonight.
Pleasure, sir. Thank you.
I will certainly look forward to seeing you in spring training and hope we can hook up and broadcast some baseball.
I'd love to, my friend. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Give Olga my best.
You too, Amanda. Thank you.
Bud. Thanks for everybody for showing up here tonight. When Wednesday comes next week, The one thing you can count on is another edition of the Red Sox Stove League. Thanks very much.